ancient times, when divine and earthly destinies intertwined, a mysterious presence emerged in the narrative of humanity, the Nephilim. These enigmatic figures, mentioned in ancient texts, have captivated the imagination and left unanswered questions throughout the centuries. Join us on a journey through the mists of the past, where the lines between the divine and the human blur. Who were the Nephilim? Some legends suggest they were descendants of the union between celestial and mortal beings, bearers of an extraordinary lineage that defied cosmic laws. Explore the various interpretations and mythologies surrounding the Nephilim. Were they messengers of forbidden knowledge, guardians of cosmic secrets, or beings whose existence triggered cosmic events? Each clue takes us deeper into the mystery that envelopes these mystical creatures. The word Nephilim comes from the Hebrew Naphil, which means to fall or descend. It is used to refer to beings that appear in the book of Genesis, chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. These verses say the following: when human beings began to multiply on the earth and had daughters, the sons of God saw that the daughters of the humans were beautiful. Then they took as wives all those they desired. But the Lord said, "My spirit will not remain in the human forever, for he is only a simple mortal. Therefore he will only live for 120 years. When the sons of God united with the daughters of the humans and had children with them, giants were born, who were the famous heroes of the past. From then on, there were giants on the earth. As we can see, the Nephilim were the result of the union between the sons of God and the daughters of men. But who were these sons of God? And why did they unite with human women? The expression sons of God has generated much controversy and debate among the Bible scholars. There are several possible interpretations, but the most accepted and supported by other sources is the one that identifies them with fallen or rebellious angels. Angels are spiritual beings created by God to serve and worship Him. However, some of them rebelled against His authority and followed Satan, the leader of the rebellion. These fallen angels were expelled from heaven and became demons, enemies of God and humans. The Bible does not tell us when this rebellion occurred, but some passages suggest it was before the creation of the world. For example, in the book of Job, chapter 38, verses 4 to 7, God asks Job, "Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone while the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy?" Here we see that the sons of God, understood as angels, were present when God created the earth, and they rejoiced in His work. This implies that they had not yet rebelled, and did so later. Another passage that supports this idea is Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 to 9, which says, "Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him." Here a heavenly war is described between Michael, the archangel representing God, and the dragon representing Satan, the fallen angel opposing God. The result is that Satan and his angels are expelled from heaven and cast to the earth. These fallen angels are the ones that they joined with human women and engendered the Nephilim. But why did they do it? What motivated them to do so? The Bible does not give us a direct answer to this question, but we can infer some possible reasons based on the context and other sources. One reason might be physical attraction. The fallen angels saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they took them as wives. This implies that the fallen angels had the ability to adopt a human form, or at least to manifest in some visible and tangible way. Perhaps in doing so, They experienced sensations and desires that they had not felt before, and they were carried away by them. Another reason could be moral corruption. The fallen angels knew that God had created humans in His own image and likeness, and that He had a special purpose for them. By joining with human women, the fallen angels intended to contaminate and degrade the human race and thwart God's plan. In fact, the Bible says that the earth was filled with violence and wickedness because of the Nephilim, and that God regretted having made man and decided to destroy him with the flood. A third reason could be spiritual rebellion. The fallen angels wanted to be like gods and be adored by humans. By begetting the Nephilim, the fallen angels created a hybrid offspring which had superhuman characteristics such as strength, size, and fame. These Nephilim became the heroes of old, the men of renown who were revered and feared by others. Thus, the fallen angels posed as gods and established a system of idolatry and false religion. These are some of the possible reasons why the fallen angels joined with the human women. However, we cannot be sure what was the real intention of these evil beings. What we do know is that their action provoked the wrath of God and the judgment on humanity. The Nephilim, they were an aberration, an anomaly, a perversion of God's creation. They were not part of God's original plan, but were the result of the intervention of the fallen angels. Therefore, God condemned them and destroyed them with the flood. The Bible says that only Noah and his family were saved from the flood, because Noah found grace in the eyes of God and was just and perfect in his generations. This means that Noah was not contaminated by the blood of the Nephilim, but retained the genetic and spiritual purity of the human race. This was important because Noah and his family would arise from the lineage from which would come the Messiah, the Savior promised by God from the beginning. The Messiah had to be totally human and totally divine, with no mixture of any other nature. Therefore, God preserved Noah and his family from the flood. The Bible is the main source of information about the Nephilim, but it is not the only one. There are other historical and archaeological sources that support the existence of these gigantic beings. One of these sources is the Book of Enoch, an apocryphal text that does not form part of the biblical canon, but which is cited by some authors of the New Testament, such as Jude and Peter. The Book of Enoch gives more detailed accounts of the story of the fallen angels and the Nephilim and calls them by their names. For example, in chapter 6, verses 1 to 8, it says, "It happened that when the sons of men had multiplied, in those days, beautiful and bonny daughters were born to them. And the angels, the sons of heaven, saw them and desired them, and said to each other, 'Let us choose women from among the daughters of men and beget children.' Then their leader Samyaza said, 'I fear that you do not want to do this deed, and I alone will have to pay the great sin.' But they all answered him, 'Let us all make an oath and commit ourselves under anathema to not change this plan, but to really execute it.' Then they all swore together, and they all committed under anathema. And there were 200 in total who descended on Ardes, which is the summit of Mount Hermon. And they called it Mount Hermon because they had sworn upon it and had committed an act of anathema. And these are the names of their leaders: Samyaza, who was the chief of them all, Urakiba, Ramiel, Kokabiel, Tamiel, Ramiel, Daniel, Ezekiel, Barakiel, Azael, Armaros, Ananel, Zakiel, Samsiel, Sataiel, Turiel, Yomiel, Araziel. These are the leaders of the 200 angels and all the others that were with them." The Book of Enoch also describes the characteristics and actions of the Nephilim, and they are referred to by another name, the Elohim. For example, in chapter 7, verses 1 to 6, it says, "And all the others who were with them took wives for themselves, and each chose one for himself, and began to go in unto them, and defile themselves with them. And they taught them sorcery, magic arts, and the cutting of roots, and they showed them plants, and they conceived and bore great giants whose height was 3,000 cubits. They devoured all the fruits of men's labor until they could sustain them no more. Then the giants turned against them to devour them, and they began to sin against birds, beasts, reptiles, and fish, and to devour one another's flesh, and to drink the blood. Then the earth accused the violent for everything that had been done on it. Another source that mentions the Nephilim is the Book of Numbers, chapter 13, verses 32 and 33. This passage tells of the episode when the scouts sent by Moses to explore the Promised Land return with a negative report and say, "The land we passed through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw there are of great size. We also saw the descendants of Anak there, giants, and it seemed to us that we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. We seemed like them." Here, we see that the Nephilim were not extinguished with the flood, but rather survived in some way and settled in the land of Canaan. These Nephilim were known as the Anakites, the Rephaites, the Emites, the Sweets, and the Zamzumites, among other names. They were enemies of Israel and were to be exterminated by God's command. These Canaanite giants are also mentioned by other ancient people, such as the Egyptians, the Babylonians, the Assyrians, and the Greeks. For example, the Greek historian Herodotus in the 5th century BC wrote about a race of giants that inhabited southern Arabia called the Sinopes, who were about 4 meters tall and who were descendants of the Ethiopians. Another example is the Titans, the giants of Greek mythology, who were the children of Uranus and Gaia, the sky and the earth. The Titans rebelled against their father and were defeated by Zeus and the other Olympian gods. Some of the most famous Titans are Cronus, Atlas, Prometheus, and Typhon. These and other accounts of giants in different cultures and times could have a common origin in the Nephilim, or at least in a collective memory of their existence. In addition to written sources, there is also archaeological evidence supporting the existence of the Nephilim. For example, skeletal remains, tools, weapons, jewelry, and monuments have been found that suggest the presence of beings of great size and strength in various parts of the world. One of the most well-known cases is that of the giant skeletons found in North America, especially in the Ohio River Valley, in the 19th century. These skeletons measured between 2 and 3 meters in height and had anomalous features such as double sets of teeth, 6 fingers on the hands and feet, and elongated skulls. It is believed that these giants were the builders of the mound earthworks found in the area and were the descendants of the Nephilim who arrived in America before the flood. Another case is that of the giant footprints found in different places in the world, such as in South Africa, Turkey, Bolivia, Nepal, and Australia. These footprints have dimensions ranging from 30 centimeters to 2 meters long, and it is estimated that they belong to beings that measured between 3 and 15 meters tall. Some of these footprints are imprinted on rocks that date back millions of years, which poses a great challenge to the conventional chronology of human history. These are some of the evidence that exist about the Nephilim, but there are many more that we could mention. However, we must bear in mind that this evidence is not conclusive, nor are they exempt from controversy and debate. There are many who question their authenticity, their interpretation, and their relevance. Therefore, we must be cautious and critical when evaluating them, and not be carried away by sensationalism or speculation. The Nephilim not only influenced the history and culture of Israel, but also that of other peoples and nations. Their presence and action had an impact on the development of human civilization, leaving a mark in the memory and imagination of subsequent generations. The Nephilim were responsible for introducing the knowledge and technology that accelerated the progress and decay of humanity before the flood. The Bible says that the sons of God taught human women and their children things they should not know, such as magic, astrology, metallurgy, music, war, and medicine. These arts and sciences were passed on and perfected by the descendants of the Nephilim, who became the founders and rulers of the first civilizations, like the Sumerian, Egyptian, Babylonian, Assyrian, Phoenician, and Canaanite. The Nephilim were also the inspirations for the mythologies and religions of these and other ancient peoples. The gods and heroes of these traditions were, in many cases, representations or reminiscences of the Nephilim and their progenitors. For example, the god Enki of the Sumerians, the god Ptah of the Egyptians, the god Ea of the Babylonians, the god Dagan of the Phoenicians, and the god El of the Canaanites were all identified with the god of waters, the lord of wisdom and life, and the father of the giants. These gods had similar attributes and symbols, such as the snake, the fish, the dragon, the trident, and the caduceus. The Nephilim were also the protagonists of the legends and stories of these and other ancient peoples. The stories of giants, monsters, hybrids, demigods, heroes, and travelers that populate the literature and folklore of these cultures were, in many cases, reflections or memories of the Nephilim and their feats. For example, the Epic of Gilgamesh, the king of Uruk, who was a giant two-thirds divine and one-third human, who sought immortality and who fought against the monster Humbaba and the bull of heaven. Or the story of Hercules, the son of Zeus and a human woman, who was a hero of superhuman strength, who performed the 12 labors and who faced the Hydra, the Nemean lion, and the giant Antaeus. These are some examples of how the Nephilim related to other cultures and legends, but there are many more that we could cite. What is clear is that the Nephilim were not just an isolated and marginal phenomenon, but were an influential and determining force in the history of mankind. The Nephilim were beings that arose from the union between the fallen angels and human women, and who wreaked havoc on the earth before and after the flood. They were the fruit of rebellion, corruption, and violence, and were the object of God's wrath and judgment. However, they were also the testimony of God's grace and mercy, who saved Noah and his family, and who preserved the lineage of the Messiah, the Savior of the world. The Nephilim are a fascinating and mysterious topic, inviting us to reflect on the origin, purpose, and destiny of humanity. They remind us that there is a spiritual reality that transcends the material one, and that there is a battle between good and evil that affects all of creation. They challenge us to seek the truth and not to be deceived by appearances, lies, and false doctrines. The Nephilim are also a warning and a hope for us who live in the end times. The Bible says that, just as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the Son of Man. This means that before the second coming of Christ, the world will be filled with wickedness, violence, and iniquity, and that the fallen angels and the Nephilim will appear again to deceive and destroy men. But it also means that just as God saved Noah and his family from the flood, so will he save those who believe in him and obey him from the final judgment. Therefore, dear friends, we invite you to know Jesus Christ, the only one who can save you from sin and death. He is the true Son of God, who became man, who died on the cross and rose on the third day to give you eternal life. He is the one who will come soon with power and glory to judge the world and to reign with his own in the kingdom of God. Don't forget to subscribe to support the channel so we can continue to create content like this. Hit like if you enjoyed it and share it with those who you think could benefit from this story. Thank you for getting this far, and see you next time.